I'm going to tell you about John the Baptist. I'll tell you about how John the Baptist was born and how he grew up first. God managed the birth of John the Baptist. God chose Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth was told good and made them parents to John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1 verse 13 to 17 says, But the angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him a name John. You will have a joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as the forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. They got no child because Elizabeth was barren, so they were both, you know, advanced in years. However, just as Gabriel, the archangel, said to Zacharias, you know, Elizabeth conceived the baby, and they remembered what the Gabriel said, and they raised their baby well. Now, Luke 1:80 says, And the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel. He was in the desert. It means he lived a distinguished life. He lived such a life to make the spiritual communication with Father God. And he was inspired when, exactly when he should appear to the world. I talk about the humbleness through John the Baptist based on John chapter 1. First, John the Baptist said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. John 1:19 says, This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who are you? They realized that, you know, life of John the Baptist was unique. He lived in the desert. People gathered around him. So Jews sent Levites and priests to ask him. There is one thing we gotta know. When the Jews sent the priests and Levites, there are many rumors about John. There are many news about him. And they heard it. By witnessing the power that John the Baptist was manifesting, they wondered whether they were a prophet or Christ. So those who know the law, those who kept the law, those who longed for Christ, talked about him, they were curious about them. The news spread out. That's why Jews sent to him priests and Levites to ask him. Well, some of the Jews were jealous of John. Some were curious, and some others wanted him to be trapped because they were evil. Well, we can see this kind of thing happening in this church. The power manifested in this church can be noticed even in Israel. Pastors in Israel, they experienced how and what kind of love our shepherd showed, and that they were touched by it. And the pastors in Israel began to preach the gospel around the world thanks to our shepherd, right? Some people send a spy to our church to find ground for accusation. Since they came with the bad purpose, evil purpose, you know, they would, you know, convey the wrong. If they heard A, they would say, you know, mommy church said B. And they were, you know, spreading false rumors. They misunderstood and they intentionally judged and condemned this church. In Jesus' days, even evil people sent others to ask him himself. They wanted to hear him, and they wanted to make judgment. However, in this world where sin and evil are rampant, people do not even send to ask. So we shouldn't say anything that we didn't see ourselves. We should not deliver anything we didn't hear ourselves. We should not convey what we heard from the third person. We should not judge or condemn something based on what the third person said and heard it later. Otherwise, we will become the same evil man. People cannot explain exactly what they see or hear. They would rather add or subtract what they see or hear. Or they make judgment or condemnation through wrong expression. So, when people are saying something or describing something, it can be, chances are that it can be wrong from the actually what they saw and heard. So, who are you? They asked. And verse 20 said, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. What John had testified was not about himself, and had testified about true light. And he said, he'd come to testify about the light, who is Jesus Christ, who is in the true light itself. So he testified to him. You know, we can see it from a conversation. If you are honest, you will answer yes right after being questioned. However, people who try to conceal their truth, people who try to hide the truth, they give wrong answer. They try to avoid the answering, or they give wrong answers, and they come up with many reasons. Such people surely have something to hide. People who are honest will say, I'm sorry, I apologize, when they are pointed or when they're rebuked. People who are not honest try to hide or deceive, or they give wrong answers, and they make excuses. Therefore, if you're rebuked or appointed, all you have to do is repent and correct those things. Now, John 1, you know, since John didn't do anything wrong, he confessed, I'm not the Christ, but I came here to testify to Christ. Now, John chapter 1, verse 21 to 23 said that they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? Then he said, I'm not. Are you a prophet? And he answered, no. And they said to him, who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Isaiah, the prophet said. Now, verse 19 says again, the Jews sent John the Baptist, priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him a question. But John said, you know, he was not the Christ. He said, no. Then people ask again, you know, what then? Are you Elijah? And John the Baptist said, I'm not. Are you the prophet? And John the Baptist said, no. And they asked him again, who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Then John the Baptist said, I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. Now, let's take a look into, you know, Elijah. As written in the 1 Kings chapter 17, he was the prophet in the days of King Ahab in North Israel. He drew down the answer of fire in Mount Carmel. He testified that God was alive, and God is alive, and he is true God. And he awakened those Israelites who worshipped idols. He manifested power. When there was in a drought for 3.5 years, through his prayer, he received the answer of rain. He was the prophet sanctified without evil. That's why he didn't die, but he went up to heaven alive. The wage of sin is death. So when people don't have sin, they don't die. That's why Elijah was lifted up alive and went to heaven. Enoch and Elijah were not treated specially. Since they were sinless and they were sanctified, they could be lifted up alive. The prophets are God's workers. They testify about God and deliver God's will. So what kind of duty did John the Baptist have? Father God knew his seed beforehand, and he governed his heart so that, you know, John the Baptist could live a distinguished life in the wilderness in order to make him not be stained by the world. He was inspired. So he lived such a distinguished life in clothing and eating. John the Baptist was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, and his diet was locusts and wild honey. He lived such a unique and distinguished life. As you can see, prophets lived an exceptionally different life from others. And those prophets who manifested even greater power lived even more distinguished life. And they lived their lives following the will of God. For example, what about the life of Apostle Paul after him at Jesus Christ? He learned many things from the teacher Gamaliel. He was born from the rich family. He had the Roman citizenship. However, he gave them all. When he was called as a servant of God, when he was a young man, he preached the gospel to Gentiles in order to testify to the cross of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Despite all the persecution and difficulties, he went his way with joy. That's why he received God's power, manifested God's power, and signs and wonders. He led many souls to Father God, and he glorified Father God. Just as Elijah testified to the living God, John the Baptist lived a distinguished life to make the way of the Lord straight. This is something that every man can do. But Father God knew it before the ages. So when the time comes, Father God chooses such people and uses them. John the Baptist lived a distinguished life. Why? It was to make Israelites become curious about John the Baptist and listen to his voice. Our shepherd also lived an exceptionally different life. When he prayed in the Gwangju prayer house, he prayed day and night, even in cold winter or scorching summer. He prayed on top of rock, even in cold winter. The temperature went below to, you know, 5 or 10 below zero. He said, even if he cried a lot, you know, not a single drop of sweat came up. However, he cried out. And he overcame the coldness and prayed. He even skipped supper to pray. From time to time, after dinner, he went up the mountain to pray all night long. He lived such a life only with prayers. Until today, lived such a life, the life of prayer, the life of meditator on the Word of God. When he was a layman member, when he was a deacon, well, when he gave in a vowed prayer, he prayed from midnight to 3. Even though he worked as a layman, labor worker, he prayed like that. He cried out. He fervently prayed. Now, as I recall, when I opened my eyes, from sleep, my parents went out to sleep. And when they prayed inside the store, I could hear their crying. I woke up and then heard their voice and I went back to sleep. He loved to pray. He was kind of, shy man. So that's why he went to mountain and pray. He would try to go to even higher place so that, other people would not hear his voice. Here's his prayer. And then, he cried out to pray. The time he met God and until today to preach this gospel of holiness, to testify to the living God, to testify to God the Creator, to testify to the living Almighty God, he prayed countless times, fervently, without ceasing. Mami members are also living a, such a distinguished life from the world. However, if you truly look for New Jerusalem, then your life should be the life that, you know, if you live your life the way you want, that's not the life looking for New Jerusalem. You gotta live by the will of God. You gotta live your life for your sanctification. You gotta sacrifice yourself. You gotta be low. You gotta be humble. But many people long for the position of glory, but they don't think about the process to get there. The life in the desert, the life of putting on the cloth of camel's hair and the leather belt and eating locusts and wild honey. John the Baptist lived such a life and people don't think about it. If we look at the world, then you may find something you can enjoy yourself. However, those who look at the reality, not the imaginary thing, they will try hard to pray instead of looking at the world. They don't take rest, but they will fill the heart with hope for heaven. They used to live for themselves, right? Now, recently, I became so proud. So many people try to take a rest. They try to find time for themselves after work, after study. But mommy members eat dinner and come to church in Daniel prayer meeting. It is a narrow way. It is a way which is full of hope for heaven. We should be thankful. You sacrifice yourself, you become low, you serve others. You used to live your life for yourself, but now you think of the will of Father God first, and you consider others' heart. Those who have hope for New Jerusalem, follow the life of forefathers. Think about the life of our shepherd. He lived by the will of God, and such a life of his touch our hearts. Even a baby till elderly people, you know, senior pastor greets them and serves them. And we try hard to resemble him, to serve more, to help more, to take care of others more. So those who have the hope for New Jerusalem follow the life of forefathers. They don't live for their own benefit, but they humble themselves and live a distinguished life. In this trial of blessing, in this time of blessing, I was touched by our members' confession. We are the witnesses. We witnessed how our shepherd lived his life. We witnessed that he was the servant of God of power. We witnessed how he lived his life with prayers. We are the witnesses. Now, we are going to protect this church. We are going to protect the shepherd. You made this kind of confession. For the last 36 years, he has waited for us until we lived a sanctified life. He has believed in us. Whenever, you know, I meet you, you made the kind of confession. Senior pastor asked me to live a sanctified life, cast off every form of evil. He always taught me like that. Now, I'm going to protect him. I received such text messages. Senior pastor believed me. Senior pastor waited for me. Now it's time for me to wait for senior pastor. Touched my heart. Now, we're going to do our duty faithfully, and we will wait for our shepherd. You made that kind of confession. And when you praise all the more fervently, when you pray all the more fervently, my heart was touched. Isaiah 40 verses 3 to 5 says, a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all the flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It says, John the Baptist was a voice of one crying in the wilderness to make straight the way of the Lord. He was born 6 months earlier than Jesus. And he started to cry first. When he was conceived, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit already. So when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, Mary the Virgin, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. It is written in the Bible. Even though he was in his mother's womb, when he realized that Jesus was conceived, he recognized it and he leaped with joy. So he recognized the Lord even though he was in mother's womb. And he lived such a distinguished life after he was born. He lived the isolated life from the world. He controlled himself and eating and wearing, and he did only the will of God. And he called himself a voice of one crying out in the desert. He was such humble. Now, John the Baptist was so humble as to say, the thong of the Lord's sandal I'm not worthy to untie. In John chapter 1, John the Baptist baptizing with water is recorded. Now, what's the reason in the John the Baptist baptized with water? He said in John 1:26, I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It's written that he is the one who baptizes with fire and the Spirit. John the Baptist baptized with water, and our Jesus baptized with fire. You gotta know this. You gotta understand it. The reason John the Baptist baptized with water is to testify to Jesus. Jesus was the Savior who would redeem us from our sin. He's the one who could, cleanse our heart. Only Jesus had the power to redeem us from our sin. So he had the power to clean our hearts. So that's why he can baptize with fire. However, John the Baptist didn't have such, power. So basically, he didn't have the power to clean our heart. He just was sent to testify to the one who could do it. He testified to Jesus Christ, who would baptize with fire. He came before him. And in order to testify Jesus, he baptized with water. Water refers to the Word of God. Physically speaking, water can cleanse our dirt. Brothers and sisters, when we got dirty, we cleanse ourselves with water, right? So, baptizing with water means cleansing our sin. It means, forgiveness. Therefore, water cleans our dirt in a spiritual sense to, make it, spiritually revealed, we are baptized with water. However, John the Baptist said, the one who comes after him would baptize with fire. Unlike him who was baptizing with water. Now, John chapter 1 verse 26 and 27 says, John answered them saying, I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie. Back then, John the Baptist was revered by many people at the time. Many people thought of him as a special one, clean, sinless, not befriending the world. Everything he did was in the truth and the law of God. That's what they thought of him. He was speaking to the truth. That's why many people, including Jews, thought that, you know, they were curious whether he was a Christ, whether he was a Messiah, whether he was Elijah, as written in the Old Testament. Since they were curious, Jews sent in a priest and Levites. However, John the Baptist completely humbled himself before Jesus. And he even said that he is, you know, he was unworthy to untie the thong of our Lord. The thong is the lowest part in human's body, right? Because it ties our sandal. So shoes and sandals becomes easily dirty because it touches the dirtiest part. How he said, you know, the thong of whose sandals, you know, I'm not worthy to untie. We gotta learn this humbleness. He said so. Why? Because the one who comes after him was the Holy One. He was revered by God. But he said, he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie. He was saying how high, how great Jesus was. John the Baptist was humble like this. Now, there are people like that, you know. They say they love the shepherd and they respect the shepherd. Some people respect and love their teachers or their leaders. Well, it is a blessing to do so. However, if you cannot love or trust the servant of God who leads you to life and the way of eternal life, it is sad, isn't it? You don't love him, you don't respect him. How can you have faith when you listen to him? How can you obey him? You force yourself to obey, but it's hard, right? But if you can trust him, love him, respect him, then it's a blessing for you. How could have John the Baptist cried with his life in the wilderness if he had not loved and trusted Jesus? But he became such a voice in the wilderness. Nowadays, you know, I recall that, you know, the life of our shepherd was so great. He testified to Jesus only. And he told us, cast off every sin to live by the word of God. He taught us how great. Whenever I recalled his life and his teaching, the time we were with him, it touched my heart. He lived based only on the Bible. I believe he is still doing so. He is still forgiving, he is yielding, and teaching only the will of God. John the Baptist loved and respected our Jesus. That's why he could become the voice. Now, since we love and trust our shepherd, we can also become the voice, right? He could cry out. He could become the voice because the one after him was such a great man. Jesus was the Holy One. That's why John the Baptist didn't become arrogant. He just was humble. Jesus had the power. He revived the dead man. He made the blind see. He made the cripple stand up. And he even healed the lepers. With his power, he calmed down the winds and waves. He was such a holy and righteous and good and great man. He was so thankful to testify such a man. That's why he said he was not worthy to untie the thong of Jesus Christ. Such a man, you know, Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Lord. Now, how do you act before such great Lord? Are you unworthy like John the Baptist? Do you truly love him and revere him? And do you obey him? Or even though the Lord is watching over you, do you gossip? Do you criticize someone? Can you do that if you truly love the Lord? Would you have, you know, secular conversation in the sanctuary? Don't you judge and condemn others? Don't you get angry when something make, you know, some people call you bad names? Don't you judge or condemn others? Don't you make, you know, judgment on what you see or hear? However, if you had the same faith as John the Baptist, since the Lord is in our heart, you would not think about unrighteousness. You would not do such unrighteous thing. If you know that our Lord always watches over your eye, or watches over your every single deed, that you will always be humble and Lord. He watches you with his blazing eyes. Even when you roll your eyes, he counts your every single hair. He's watching over you. So how can you behave wrong? How could you behave recklessly? How could you have evil intention in your heart? The standard of faith, it depends on how much you believe it. If you are humble, and if you have such faith as John the Baptist, if you truly believe that the Lord is with you, if you believe that our Lord is watching you with his blazing eyes, then you will be careful with what you say, your behavior, your thoughts in your heart. You wouldn't do any of it recklessly. For example, say the Lord appears before you. You would not even stand or sit. You would sweat. You would kneel down. And you would just look up to him. You will be, you know, worried whether he would punch you or rebuke you. You would not dare look up to him. Do you truly serve him and love him? The Lord who is such holy? Even though he is invisible, you gotta be able to feel him and see him by faith. The Lord is watching us with his blazing eyes, and he searches our hearts. Don't you think you can make the same confession as John the Baptist did before the Lord? He was such a holy one. John the Baptist was not worthy to untie the thong of our Lord. He is our friend. He is our Savior. And he is our Father God. Brothers and sisters, we are so happy. And how glorious. When we truly fear and revere the Lord like John the Baptist did, Father God will be pleased, and he will make our desire in heart come true. Now, whenever, you know, I deal with Mrs. Bong Lim Lee and Pastor Soo Jin Lee and Pastor Mi Kyung Lee, of course, you know, I am happy. I'm thankful. Of course, they are hurt in their heart. But they always think about Father God. And they always wonder how to make, they always ask themselves how to please our Father God. Now, sometimes, you know, we ask God, you know, I'm so angry. I'm so hurt in my heart. However, they pray like this. I believe the blessing that you will come after. I'll believe in the day that we will go out to the world and do world mission along with our shepherd. So thank you. We cheer each other with that kind of confession. Sometimes, you know, I think, you know, it is not something, you know, she can manage. But she says, I'm nothing. If I compare what I do with what our senior pastor managed, so I gotta go to pray to take care of these things. Whenever she said so, I was so thankful. Our shepherd took care of 99%, and he asked us to take care of 1%. That 1% is to rejoice and give thanks. When Father God watches us, we gotta be humble, like John the Baptist. We gotta do goodness. We gotta make peace with others. We gotta consider others. We gotta do things that can please our Father God. We gotta show such a behavior and attitude before God. Instead of making in harsh words, we gotta speak softly and gentle words, remembering our Lord is watching over us. We gotta do it with joy and thanks. We gotta live such a good life, beautiful life, while making good confessions. John 1:30 says, this is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. Jesus Christ was before him. Why? Because he was with God from the beginning. So he knew that Jesus was before him. In a fleshly sense, John the Baptist was born 6 months earlier than Jesus. However, in a spiritual sense, Jesus was before John the Baptist. Because Jesus was with our Father God before John the Baptist. That's why John the Baptist came to this earth earlier than Jesus to become the voice. However, Jesus was before him. Jesus preached the gospel, and when he talked about Abraham and David, people said Jesus was lying. John 8, verses 56 and 57 says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And now, verse 58 and 59 says, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Abraham was born thousands of years ago. You are not even 50 years old. How could you see Abraham? But our Lord said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. So they got angry and they tried to stone him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. When people tried to stone him, you know, he hid himself. If you are a man of truth, you got to do this. However, through the eyes of the man of untruth, you know, it would make him, you know, shameful. So they would say, why Jesus would not fight back? However, in the Bible, we can see that, you know, Jesus hid himself many times. Now, you gotta know the truth. You should not argue. You should not fight back. When people tried to stone at him, he ran away. He hid himself. However, fighting back is a fleshly thing. Well, it happened in 1990s. People and neighbor persecuted this church a lot. However, mommy members endured them. Thankfully, the leader of those who persecuted this church was Christian. So he had a pang in his conscience, and he came to church to repent. He said, after beginning persecuting this church, he lived his life in fear. It seemed we failed, however, we won victory in the end. The leaders called for our shepherd and they said, please save me. We feel like we're going to hell. They said like this. even in days of Jesus, people used in brute ways. When Jesus said that he was before Abraham, they thought Jesus was lying. Even though Jesus was talking, they said Jesus was lying. They used this kind of fleshly thought because they were foolish in a spiritual sense. Jesus was God beforehand. However, they didn't believe it. So when Jesus said that he was before Abraham, he misunderstood Jesus. Well, this is what senior pastor said. When you see a servant of God who was yielding out of his goodness, then you would say, you know, you are so stubborn. You gotta take care of this matter this way. However, why do you wait and wait and endure and endure and forgive and forgive them again and again? However, what is important is to seek the will of God and have a spiritual thought. You gotta correctly discern whether you have to hid yourself, hide yourself, or whether you have to keep the will of God until you die as a martyr. Father God will find his time out of his goodwill, and he will work. To win in the sight of God is to be sinless and to leave everything to God by faith. I have thought about this many times. In a spiritual warfare, what it is to win, it is to be sinless. Our shepherd is sinless. And we believe it. So we leave everything unto the hands of God. So we pray more. We try more. We prepare ourselves more. But we believe that Father God is alive. Well, I thought about this. If Father God was not alive, you know, I would got so angry. I would not even able to stand up if there were no God. However, I believe that in a spiritual warfare, to win victory is to be sinless. However, in the world, even when people are sinless, people will say, you know, he committed sin. However, Father God is with our shepherd and with Mamim. So in the end, we will win victory and we will reap the fruit. Father God is waiting, right? He is waiting. He is enduring. And the longer he waits, the greater blessing we will receive. So Mamim members in branch churches around the world, we are so happy to think about them. Well, I say like this. If senior pastor, you know, just takes care of members of the, if senior pastor visits, you know, our every member, then, you know, it would take about a year to visit the members in the first parish. However, senior pastor always harbors the whole world, how to preach this gospel of holiness and power of God to the whole world. That's what he thinks all the time. He prays for it in his heart. He thinks about Korean Christian community. So, he thinks all the churches should live by the word of God, by the will of God. And you are the witnesses. And the blessing is right near us. Father God knows that we are sinless. Father God knows that our shepherd is sinless. So he is waiting with blessing. Do you think our shepherd is angry? No. From his mouth, I believe he's talking about love, goodness, and forgiveness. This is what, you know, our senior pastor said. I believe he is still doing the same. I heard from lawyers, and they told me, you know, what our senior pastor is doing. So our Mamim members should unite together all the more with love and goodness. We got to take care of 1%, which is left for us. And when it is combined with the 99% of what our senior pastor did, then Father God will be glorified. Well, to the people of flesh, you know, we would lose the game. However, when the time that Father God has set comes, then we will see the great twist of goodness. The work of God can be done through the man of God. When the man does the goodness of God. Now John chapter 1 verse 31 and 32 says, I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John testified saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. He baptizes with water, for he was sent to Israel to speak, to cry before him. That's what he said. He explained the spiritual reason why he baptized with water. We gotta know why he baptized with water. Then we can understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. By baptizing with water, he could testify to Jesus who was baptizing with fire. Everything was done in the providence of God, in order. Father God does things in strict order, without error. It may seem to be slow, but there is a reason why God endures 1,000 years like one day. What I'm saying is that before Jesus baptized with fire, Father God sent John the Baptist and let him baptize with water. All this was arranged by our Father God, and it was done, and it was practiced in order. Amos 3:7 says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. Surely, we can find in Genesis 6:12, you know, God told Noah that he would judge the world with water. Since Abram was recognized by God, God informed him about the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Father God told him beforehand, right? So, John the Baptist was told beforehand, you know, such a man would come. The Holy Spirit like dove would, you know, sit upon him. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. Father God told him already. Now, John expressed that like this. Well, to make John the Baptist realize who Jesus was, God opened his spiritual eyes to make him know that, you know, Jesus is the Christ. You know, Jesus was the secret before ages, right? To make, you know, John the Baptist realize him, you know, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus as dove, right? Father God told him already that my son is the one, the Holy Spirit will sit upon him as a dove. He is the Christ. He is the Savior. So John the Baptist would realize him, he was the Savior, when the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. Say, someone dug a well. Now, water came out from the well. After he dug the well, everyone can drink water from the well. He himself, who dug the well, could drink, and other people could drink. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. And then, Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to people. John the Baptist so knew that Jesus came after him. He said, you know, Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. He lived and prayed in the wilderness. He was inspired. He already knew it. So to let John direct John the Baptist recognized Jesus Christ, God made him see the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven on Jesus Christ. Jesus. No. Why did he say that the Spirit descended as a dove? Well, it was a proper expression. There are so many birds, right? But think about dove. A dove is pure, clean, meek, and gentle. That's why he expressed the Holy Spirit was like a dove. When he saw the Holy Spirit, he made the best example. God opened his spiritual eyes, so he saw it, and he came up with the best expression. Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. Not the actual dove that came upon him. As a metaphor, just like the meek dove came upon and descended upon Jesus, he used that expression. Now, you got to understand two things. First, when you use a metaphor, or when you see vision, or when you were inspired, or when you had a dream, when you explain that to others, you got to make the perfect example, or you got to find the best metaphor to make others understand and accept it in heart. The man of truth will use the best example so that, you know, he will show the truth, and reveal the truth. The second thing that you got to learn is that, well, the difference of receiving the Holy Spirit. Well, everyone receives the Holy Spirit according to their character. Some people receive the Holy Spirit while rolling down on the ground. Some people, you know, repent for hours and then they receive the Holy Spirit. Some people don't even realize that they receive the Holy Spirit, but they could believe. But that's the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. You got to receive the Holy Spirit to believe, right? I couldn't believe before. I had the fleshly thought, but somehow, from some point in time, I was able to believe. That's the evidence that you received the Holy Spirit. Well, sometimes I can believe, but other times I doubt. Well, don't worry about it. You only have faith as small as a mustard seed. But when the measure of faith grows up, then you would be able to believe better. According to your Christian life, your faith would grow up. So, according to characters of men, they receive the Holy Spirit in a different way. The important thing is, whether you received like the whole fire or like a dove, the important thing is you received the Holy Spirit. The important thing is, whether you could believe it in heart, which is the work of the Holy Spirit. If you can believe in heart, you already received the Holy Spirit. That is, you can believe invisible spiritual world. Now, John chapter 3, verse 22, there is a different scene of baptizing. John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Let me read verse 22 and 23. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing. John also was baptizing in Ainon near Salim, because there was much water there, and people were coming and were being baptized. Jesus baptized along with his disciples. And John the Baptist also baptized the people. Our Lord, John the Baptist, baptized the people where there was much water. And people gathered. People gather where water is. Where water is, a village appears. Every city has in the water. Water is spiritually God's word. The word of God is truth. And truth is light. And this light is good deeds, right? If you come out to the light and show good deeds, people follow you good deeds and gather around you. Where there is the word of God, people gather to listen. And when people do show good deeds, more people gather around such following such good deeds. The people of good conscience love good deeds. Goodness love goodness. So good conscience love goodness. Evil love evil. Good love good. So when you show good deeds, people will follow you. Well, you use salt when you make kimchi, right? When you show good deeds in light, it is like in the supplying salt for others. The salt sacrifices itself. It dissolves itself to give taste, to stop the food from being decayed. You gotta work like the salt. When you come out to light and become salt and show good deeds, people taste your good deeds and come to the light following you. Coming into the light means you following the truth and living by the word of God. And other people will follow the word. Our Jesus is the word and truth and the light itself. So wherever Jesus went, many people gathered. It is the same today, where there is a spiritual word, people who long for the word, people who are thirsty for spiritual word, gather together just like a deer panting for water gather. They gathered around the word, and they drink water. So when you become salt, even Gentiles will gather and follow you. So the important thing is how you become salt. You and I should become salt. And you gotta work like John. You gotta work like, the Lord and his disciples. You gotta, do your mission and you gotta baptize people. You gotta follow the light and you gotta show good deeds. You gotta become the light and salt of this world. And people will taste your salt and they will follow you to come to the light. Now John 3:25 and 26 says, therefore, there arose a discussion on the part of John's disciples with the Jew about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified. Well, they were talking about Jesus, right? John the Baptist said, I am unworthy to untie his tongue, right? They were saying, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. But people used to come to John the Baptist, but now they follow Jesus. You baptized him. The people follow the one you baptized. Well, people follow him because he is word itself, right? Well, when the word of God is, taste as good as honey, people gather. It's natural to drink the spiritual water. However, there are people who try to stop such people. People should follow, the word of God. But there are people, evil people, who try to stop such people. They criticize such people. People solve their problems through the word of God, word of life, and they receive grace. Their soul become prosperous, and they gotta have, they come to heaven, hope for heaven. But there are people out of jealousy and envy, they stop them. And they criticize them. Well, as long as there is word of life in the people gather, since our Lord was word itself, those who follow John the Baptist now follow Jesus. That's why John the Baptist and the disciples said like that. Now, what did John say? He said in verse 27, a man can receive nothing unless it is being given him from heaven. Brothers and sisters, if it is not given by God, you cannot receive grace. Even though you speak fluently, how can your speech become life and grace to others? You keep the Lord's Day. You come to even this Friday online service. Now, How can people do that? People do so, and you do so because it is life, it is eternal life. You are inspired in your heart. Not because the preacher is wise, not because he has some kind of talent to lead you. It is only because Father God is with him. A man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. Only God can do it. Now, why his disciples ask this kind of question to John the Baptist? People revere John the Baptist. They respected him. Well, let's say, when some people talk about you and when they got angry, then you got to put blame on yourself and you got to repent. Well, you gotta blame on yourself, not others. Most people put blame on others when they were in this kind of situation. This is, well, what Father God wants is that you gotta explain the situation as it is, without mixing it with your feelings. But when people have, negative feelings about the situation, they convey mixing with their own negative feelings. So, what they explain cannot become true. So they cannot be loved by Father God. Now think about John's disciples. They asked him out of their perspective, out of their envy and jealousy. They used to follow you, but now they go to Jesus. They asked like this, out of their envy and jealousy. But how John replied, since he was a man of goodness, man of light, man who testified to the Lord, he said it was the will of God. Now in verse 28, he said, "You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I'm not the Christ, but I've been sent ahead of him." What he's saying was that, even though you revere me, I'm not the Christ. I'm the one who testified to Christ. Now, you are the witness that I said that. He's the one you should revere. He's the Christ. And I'm just the man sent ahead of him. And you are the witnesses to me, as I said so. I already testified to him. I came before him. And I follow the will of God to do my ministry before him. He is the Christ. So don't revere me. Follow him and revere him. John the Baptist lowered himself like this. He became humble like this. So we have to resemble John the Baptist like this. When people praise us, instead of becoming, some exaggerating, you gotta find what your shortages are. You gotta fill them up. You gotta lower yourself. You gotta lower yourself. You gotta revere the Lord, just as John the Baptist did. Where can you find envy and jealousy from John the Baptist? He didn't have any hatred. He rather become low and make people who speak out of jealousy and envy understand, and he helped them revere Christ. He testified Jesus. People praised him. However, he broke their thoughts and made them revere the Lord. We gotta know that such attitude of envy and jealousy can be found in the church. Now, pastors, elders, and workers of the church, what about you? Who should become high? But this is what our senior pastor said. Who should become the highest? The newcomer should be the highest. who should be the lowest? Pastor and elders are the lowest in the church. I'm not talking about the order. But why is the newcomer is the highest? It's because they don't know the truth. They don't know the light. That's why they are the highest. Our Lord forsook the glory of heaven. He came down to this earth not to be served but to serve. He sacrificed himself and he obeyed until he died on the cross. That's what forefathers of faith did. However, those who do not know the truth try to be served. They try to lift themselves up. Since newcomers do not know the truth, they sit down on the high position. They want to be served. They want to be lifted up. Say a newcomer came. And then some people talk to the newcomer, don't sit down, someone is occupying the place already. Then the newcomer would get angry. He thought he would be, you know, served. So when he was treated like that, he got angry. Why? Because he is a newcomer. He wanted to be, you know, raised. Now, he sits down on the elder's place. Now, there is an elder. Now, people do not know you are the elder. And they say, please come out. Here, there is an old man, and then he got to sit down on your place. Then what would you do? Oh, okay, please. You got to obey and serve the old man. That's the elder of Manmin, right? That's the member and pastor of this church. Brothers and sisters, when there are newcomer to this church, they are sitting high. So they want to reveal their fame or honor, right? However, once light and truth enters them, they become humble. They look like, you know, gentle. They look gracious. And they yield, they serve, they sacrifice themselves. Once they know the truth. That's why newcomer is the highest, and elders and pastors are the lowest. However, you should never break orders. In a family, there is order of grandfather, grandmother, mother, father, elder brother, firstborn son, and first daughter. Once this order is broken, the family would be messy. So the order should not be broken. By the same token, God the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are the head. And underneath them, there are pastor, and there is a parish pastor, guidance pastor, and elders, district leaders and cell leaders, and deacons and deaconesses. These orders should be kept. Now, verse 29 says, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. Other Jews asked him, people follow the one you baptized. Disciples of John the Baptist didn't like that, right? When they asked this kind of question. They asked a question out of, you know, envy and jealousy. What they were saying like is like, you baptize him and many people follow him. But what about you? That was the question that they asked. In order not to disappoint his disciples, he testified who he was. And he explained, helping them understand the Lord in verse 29. He said he was just a groomsman. Now we are the groomsmen of the Lord. But groomsman rejoices for groomsman, right? For the bridegroom. John the Baptist said was this. Many people follow the one you baptized. When his disciples said like this, John said that he rejoices over it. And he explained the reason why. He helped his disciples understand it, helping them not to be disappointed. Now, you gotta have the heart of John the Baptist like this. You were the leader. You worked for Father God. Now someone is more recognized, better recognized than you are. Someone registered. And he registered to this church after you. Now he got smarter. He got better faith. He works better for Father God's kingdom. Then you should be able to serve him better. Obey him. Serve him. That's the attitude of Christians. Envy and jealousy are evil. It has nothing to do with God. Even though they are late after you, when they become heads and leaders, if the kingdom of God and God's righteousness are more accomplished, then you gotta make him and serve him as your leader. That's Christians. That's the sons and daughters of God. I gotta help him so that he would do his job better. But I will sit back. Well, no. Thank you for saying no. Instead of sitting back, you gotta help him to do better job. You gotta actively support him so that the work of God can be done better. That's the way Father God is pleased. Now, John the Baptist had such a heart. Jesus was baptized by the hands of John the Baptist. And John lifted Jesus. And when people follow Jesus, he rather said, he was spirit-filled. Brothers and sisters, we gotta glorify Father God together. And we gotta praise those who glorify God. Right? How can you be jealous and envious about those who glorify the Father? Nonsense. What about other churches? If there is a church revived, then we gotta rejoice together. And we gotta pray for the church. If there are churches that are not reviving, where there is no work of God, then we gotta pray for those churches as well. When there is a church revealing the glory of God and reviving, then we gotta rejoice together for the church and pray for it. How good is it? Accomplishing the Father God's kingdom in His righteousness and saving countless souls and glorify Father and God, we gotta rejoice with all these things. All churches are the body of Christ, and we are the body parts. We are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. We should not become jealous or envious of each other. We should pray together. We should cooperate with each other. We gotta become one for Father God's kingdom and His righteousness. Sometimes it happens. The one who came after me to church become the group leader. Then you lose grace. There are people like that. When others are recognized better than you are, then you gotta rejoice. You gotta rejoice because they're recognized better than you are, and they were selected as leaders. So you gotta rejoice, you gotta give thanks. But if you lose your grace, if you lose your strength, it means you were not worthy to become the leader. People of God selected a member and chose him as a leader. Then you gotta rejoice together and give thanks. But out of your envy and jealousy, if you show you just the pride, then you gotta know you are not qualified to become a leader. If Father God's kingdom is achieved greatly, then Father God will be pleased, and all the congregation of Mammon will rejoice together. But if you become envy and jealousy of the one who are recognized better than you are, who are loved by the congregation more than you are, then you are not qualified to become a leader or a pastor. And Father God will not acknowledge you. So pastors, elders, senior deaconesses, deacons, deaconesses, cell leaders, district leaders, please remember this, okay? You gotta have the heart of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist said in verse 30, He must increase, but I must decrease. He said Jesus should increase, but he himself must decrease. And he added in verse 31, He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. But what about the heart of people? People do not like others going ahead of them. But John the Baptist said, He must increase, but I must decrease. He said he must decrease to make him increase. He said he should be known and he must die. I must die to make him recognized. If I increase, he cannot increase. I must decrease to make him increase. That's what he said so. I hope that our pastors, elders, senior deaconesses must have this kind of faith. As the church grows, many new people come in. They may have good knowledge, fame from the world, or honor. Such and such people gather around the water. Since they come to church with honor and fame, they are recognized outside. Now, they can become great vessel if you manage a good Christian life, listening to the Word of God and growing up their faith. When they are given duties, then they can do more for Father God's kingdom and righteousness. They must become leaders, and you got to help them to become the leaders, and you got to yield to them, right? Well, I came to this church before them. I became the elder before them. I got to keep my position. If you say like this, the Father God's kingdom cannot be expanded. You got to follow them. Just as the church acknowledges and God acknowledges, you got to obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice, right? If you have this kind of vessel, you're already acknowledged by God. You got to always look up to God, look up to His kingdom and His righteousness. You got to think of your own greed or your own honor. As you die, as you lower yourself, souls can be saved, church can revive, Father God's kingdom and righteousness would be accomplished. Then that is to love God, and that is to be loved, and that is the heart of God's people. That is the heart of John the Baptist. He said, He must increase, but I must decrease. As we decrease, that's the heart of children of God. And Father God will recognize and acknowledge us. Well, the matter of battle is up to God. Only God can make people increase or decrease. This is what Father God does. He governs everything. He governs the heart of people. So even the lowest man can be lifted up. Without the permission of God, not a single sparrow can fall down. So, mommy members, you know, your soul that prospers, right? So you can yield, you can serve, you can understand. Thank you. He who comes from heaven is above all. In the Bible, God created everything. With whom? He created for Jesus Christ. Everything was created for Him. Therefore, everything in the universe exists for the Lord. Our Lord is the Lord of the Lords and King of Kings. Since everything belongs to Him, naturally He is the head of everything. John the Baptist was explaining and testifying to him to those who asked him a question. Why he must increase, but he must decrease. Why people should follow him. Because he is the one who comes from heaven, who is above all. As we work for Father God, it is important to follow the will of God. We shouldn't do things to become recognized or to become the leader. We gotta lower ourselves to do work for Father God's kingdom. We gotta rejoice and we gotta give thanks if our co-workers or co-pastors glorify Father God better. Instead of thinking, what can I do more? The more important thing is, how can I reveal the glory of God better? You gotta have no self. You gotta have the heart of seeking only God's glory. John the Baptist lived a distinguished life. People gathered around him, and he was able to baptize Jesus. Now, people left him, and people started to follow Jesus. And his disciples said, "The people follow the one you baptized." But John the Baptist humbled himself, and he said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Later, eventually, he died as a martyr. In a fleshly sense, it was miserable the way he died. However, he lowered himself like that. That was his life. And John the Baptist became a noble man, man of honor, great man in heaven. Father God made him like that. You gotta know what Father God's will is. You gotta always think about it. When there is a new leader, you gotta have the heart of John the Baptist. Then everything can be done in peace and reveal the glory of God. Instead of thinking of the duty that you will receive, you gotta think of the leader who can work for Father God's kingdom in His glory and pray for Him. It's different from losing your favor for Father God's kingdom or sitting back. Even though you think someone who is not superior to you becomes the leader, you gotta help him and support him to do his job better in fullness of the Holy Spirit, following the will of God. Those with the faith of fathers whose heart is good will not feel ill if someone who is short of knowledge or experience, a leader. When such people are loved more than he himself, he doesn't become jealous. He rather rejoices. He gives thanks to God. He rather supports him not to make a mistake. And he prays for him so that he would receive God's strength and power. Let me conclude this message. While growing up, John the Baptist was managed in heart about what kind of life he was to live. He lived such a controlled life. He made communication with God all the time, and he realized his duty. He learned what he cried for, what he should do. He was touched and inspired in his heart, and he was waiting for the time. When the time came, he said, "Repent, for heaven is near." And he baptized people, and people from Jerusalem, all Judea, and the cities near Jordan River came to him, repented before him, and baptized. Now Luke 3:15 says, "Now while the people were in a state of expectation and all were wondering in their hearts about John as to whether he was the Christ." In verse 16, John answered and said to them all, "As for me, I baptize you with water. But one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." John the Baptist clearly knew his duty of preparing the Lord's way, and he kept it without exceeding his limit. As we think of John the Baptist, you may think, he did so. However, you don't ask yourself whether you can do the same. You may be humble, you may lower yourself, and you may be loved by people. However, can you continue to be humble and lower yourself, just like John the Baptist did, following the will of God? That's important. When people seem to be humble, and some people try to befriend the world in order not to lose what they tasted before. Senior pastor once said that, I don't try to taste fine food because it would, I would look for it later. Last year, was it? I visited in a good restaurant along with Mrs. Bonlin Lee and Pastor Sujin Lee. And I said, I often visit this restaurant. And then we had meal. And then I saw, Pastor Sujin Lee was almost crying. There was a restaurant filled with customers. Well, I think since it was a birthday, I believe people visit this kind of restaurant to celebrate their birthday or some special day. Well, Mrs. Bonlin Lee and Pastor Sujin Lee, even though they could enjoy better things, they always save. Because senior pastor has lived such a life. Well, we can look out to the world. We can look at the world. However, we stop looking at the world. We only live our life for the reward in heaven. And we are so thankful for that. How precious such a life it is. So you are such great people. Mommy members, you are so great. That's the life of our senior pastor. Since he met God, he would enjoy so many things. However, he is just saved to help others and to do better for Father God's kingdom. That was the life of John the Baptist. He didn't change until he died as a martyr. Many people followed him, but they started to follow Jesus. However, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. He kept that kind of attitude until he died as a martyr. He always said, the one who is mightier than I will come after me. He has such a longing heart for Christ. He prepared the way for the Lord well. And when the time came, Jesus is his ministry. And many people who followed Jesus, John the Baptist, now followed Jesus. John 3:26 says, they came to John and asked to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. When people said like this, John the Baptist didn't say, my time is over. He didn't say so. John 3, verses 28 to 30 says, you yourselves are my witnesses that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. John the Baptist said this to his disciples, and he rejoiced of the appearance of the Lord, truly. We couldn't find any selfish mind, unrighteousness. We could only find truth and spiritual love for the Lord in him. His heart for the Lord didn't change until he was jailed and martyred. And the Father God regarded this as true goodness, as John the Baptist prepared the way for the Lord. We, in this end time, have the duty to prepare the way of the Lord. Just as John the Baptist prepared the way of the Lord so that other people could believe in Jesus Christ, we gotta prepare the way for the Lord who would come back so that others can welcome the Lord. And Father God gave us duties for this. That is to prepare the way for the Lord. World mission and Grand Sanctuary, they were directly connected to saving souls. For this reason, we have departments, we got organization. And when we do our duty well, then this church will eventually will do its given duties. Performing our given duties faithfully is preparing the way of the Lord. However, the reason why people cannot keep their duty well is mainly because their heart was lifted up. Because they seek their own benefit and have selfish motives, they leave the first pure purpose, to become precious vessels before God like John the Baptist. We gotta lower ourselves without any selfish motives, but only lift up the Lord. Praise the Lord. Without desire to enjoy glory when we glorify God, we gotta act with a sincere heart only for the glory of the Lord. Please, just as John the Baptist prepare for the Lord, we gotta prepare the way for the Lord who will come back. As a pastor, as Levi worker, as a leader, or as a layman member, you gotta be thankful for what you're doing. And you gotta rejoice in your department, in your mission. Well, there are people who are good at supporting. There are people who are good at writing. There are people who are good at leading people. So when they are suited, when they find the right position, then you gotta rejoice for them. And then when you are given a duty, any duty, you will say, "Thank you. I will do my duty faithfully." Please bear this message as a spiritual bread. I urge you, in the name of the Lord, to humble more and serve more like John the Baptist did.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts, and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.